Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
This is Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we have an interview and a performance from the Mountain Goats, recorded live here in Chicago. But first, we've got some new music to review.
I start my day on a tiny screen, try to connect the ones that run in front of me. I want to work out on the city.
That's a track from the new Slater-Kinney album, The Center Won't Hold. The name of the track is The Future Is Here. Slater-Kinney, a band that formed in Olympia, Washington in 1994, made seven acclaimed studio albums between 94 and 2005, then went on hiatus. Then they reunited a few years later and put out No Cities to Love in 2015. The new album is now out, and the big news is that they are collaborating with St. Vincent, a.k.a. Annie Clark, who's producing the album. And then soon after the completion of the record, drummer Janet Weiss quit the band. She said, "After intense deliberation and with heavy sadness, I've decided to leave Slater-Kinney. The band is heading in a new direction, and it is time for me to move on." We're going to explore what that new direction is in a minute. Let's play a track from the new album. It's called The Center Won't Hold. It's the title track on Sound Opinions.
That is the title track of the ninth album by Slater-Kinney, The Center Won't Hold, from the Joan Didion quote, of course, Greg. The center isn't holding. All right. We have seen Slater-Kinney mess around with quote-unquote innovative experimental productions before, notably with The Woods in 2005, produced by Flaming Lips, recording Svengali, David Fridman. That was not as big a departure as The Center Won't Hold. I don't know what the trio is doing here. We have industrial noise. We have really super cheesy 80s synth pop. I really hate the songs Love and Bad Dance.
The Let's Dance, the Bad Dance, we live in the city our lives.
We've got almost show tunes from the Brecht Weil variety, The Future Is Here and Broken. You know, it is tempting for us to look in from the outside about why Janet Weiss left. I would agree with you. She is one of the best drummers in rock, has been for the last 2+ decades. There's not much for her to do here. When a band comes back after a long period of inactivity, a reunion, if you will, do they have something new to say? Well, Slater-Kinney has something new to say. It's just pretty bad what they are saying.
Well, Jim, I'm a much bigger Slater-Kinney fan than you are. I don't think there's any argument we're going to have about that. I think the band, with Janet Weiss as the drummer, has made a series of really amazing records. I think No Cities to Love was a very strong comeback in 2015. However, The Center Won't Hold. Janet Weiss is on that record, but she's really not. I just am scratching my head as to what's going on here. I respect St. Vincent as an artist and as a producer. I think Sleater-Kinney is one of the great rock bands of the last two decades. I think the combination of the two has produced a very lackluster album. But I think the key to this band was always this sense that you were in the middle of this triangle. You had a great drummer in Janet Weiss, two singers in Kerry Brownstein and Corin Tucker on guitar. And there was a push and pull, a jousting, as if they were fighting for space. I think what we get here is Kerry songs and there's Corin songs. What made the band so exciting to me was the push and pull between those two voices and those two sensibilities. And I'm not getting any of that sense of tension here. This record is a real disappointment for me.
Will you come a little closer? Closer. I've got something to show you. Look at my friend in California. She really likes the freckles on my face. Will you come and hold my hand now? I think that you might wanna. Do you ever listen to Madonna? Yeah, I really like the freckle on her face.
That is a little bit of California Friends, the first proper song on the second album by The Regrets. How do you love? With the question mark, Greg. Last time, on their debut in 2017, they had not a question mark, but an exclamation point. Feel your feelings, fool! It was one of my favorite albums of that year. At that point, I believe that the band leader, singer-songwriter Lydia Knight, was 16 when she signs to Warner Brothers Records. She had met some of her bandmates in the School of Rock program in L.A., and it was a wonderful, invigorating explosion of garage pop punk with as much of a debt to the Riot Girls of the 90s as to the doo-wop-laden girl groups of the 50s and 60s. This is a second album. There have been some lineup changes since the first record. There's a new rhythm section, a new drummer and bassist. Lydia Knight is still only going to be 19 in October. What does it sound like? Let's play a track and we'll come back and give our opinion. This is Pumpkin by The Regrets from How Do You Love on Sound Opinions.
That's Pumpkin from The Regrets. The new album is How Do You Love? You know, I'm going to quote Foreigner's Lou Gramm here, Jim. I just feel like I need to at this point. I want to know what love is. and The Regrets respond, how do you love? You know, I think we have what you know, love. I mean, talk about a huge topic. But Lydia is diving in head first. It's a 15-song cycle about what seems to be about a year-long relationship. The first serious, intense relationship that she had. There's a detail in her songwriting, even though these are sort of, you would think, buoyant pop punk songs, you know, those little details, the dimple that she talks about in California Friends, that dirty sweater
I
Dare You, that the series of
she
movie
loves
references
Madonna's
in,
freckle
in
yeah.
Fog. Yeah, I mean, these are kind of, you know, just little touches, little imagistic touches that really flesh out her songwriting. You know, this is a, she fleshes out this relationship. It's not particularly remarkable. I mean, a lot of people go through this. That and leads to the universality of it. But the song that really kind of tipped me over on this record was the song The Game. That's where she pulls the lens back wider and sees this relationship for what it is in a wider context. We're playing a game here. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're really talking about is a young woman losing her sense of innocence about the world and what a relationship could be.
You say you did. I know that it was a lie, 'cause you can. I think we both really tried.
So you go from this kind of very, you know, okay, it's a, you could call it a puppy love relationship, a couple of teenagers falling in love, and then she pulls it back, and there's this adult perspective at the end of the record that really wins me over. And as usual, you know, the encyclopedic range of pop punk hooks, you know, everything from Joan Jett to I hear a little bit of the Strokes in there.
Sure.
You know, she drops some references to Joni Mitchell and Patsy Cline. She's a very savvy pop songwriter.
I love this record. The reason I chose Pumpkin to play on the way in, well, there are two. It is the turning point of the record. It starts out head over heels, googly-eyed puppy love, and then things start to go wrong. By the end, she's telling us, it's wake-up time, get out of my mind, to this this crush of hers. And it does progress through this story with a million great lines along the way. I used to think that Romeo was full of it, and The Notebook was just my favorite chick flick. She's funny. She's wickedly funny, sarcastic. She has an amazing amount of insight for a young woman not yet 19. And those hooks are irresistible, Greg. I love this album, and I love the last one. It is wonderful to see them progressing and growing up.
As always, we want to know what you think. Call and leave a message on our hotline at 888-859-1800. After a break, we're joined by the Mountain Goats. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX. I never